From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Rink Podcast for Ranger Proud. The Rangers lose 1-0 at home. Fresh off the All-Star break, BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be also found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. In a game where the Rangers, after, I guess, the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes of the game, where it was really controlled by the Philadelphia Flyers, they got the early goal on. Minute and 40 seconds into the game. Ever since that goal given up by Gorkyov, even though there was a lot of pressure by the Flyers, the Rangers settled down and just kept the pressure on throughout the game. As the game went, the Rangers played a lot better. They just couldn't finish at the net. And they outshot the Flyers tonight, but that's not the indication or the parameters to go off of. What you saw tonight was Philadelphia and what I saw. The Flyers' defense was pretty superb as far as blocking shots and getting in front of the way of the New York Rangers. So, fresh off the All-Star break, the Rangers fall 1-0. There's a lot of things to be said from this team because we see that there was no Zuccarello tonight. We saw the return of Kevin Hayes and Neil Pionk. And I'll definitely evaluate how they went tonight. But I also saw that Dave Quinn decided not to play Pavel Buchnevich tonight to bench him, a healthy scratch. So we saw Gorkyov in that tonight. So Henry Lundqvist, fresh off the All-Star performance, definitely would like to get feedback on, as far as the All-Star stuff out there in California. So the Rangers starting tonight was down 8 points in the standings to the second wild card spot. So they lose a little bit of traction. Philadelphia, back-to-back wins. I think they won on Monday night coming off the All-Star break as well. But the Flyers, they had a lot of their pressure early on in this game, and they pretty much won. I would say they won the game, but they got to an early lead, 1-0, a couple of minutes into the game, and they kind of played prevent defense in a sense as far as let the Rangers come to them, and they defensively held their own in check as well. There was a couple of scoring chances in this game, and the Rangers just were not able to cash in, especially a couple of times with Brendan Smith, a couple of times with Shattenkirk, a couple of times with Chris Kreider, one of those times on a power play, which was really actually a pretty good solid performance by Solov's goalie for the Flyers. So going forward from this, so the Rangers have a couple of questions. You saw Brett Howden get hurt in his game with a knee sprain, so we don't know the status of that. We'll probably get an injury report after the game, yada, yada, yada. I thought, you know, just to backtrack just a little bit, I thought the Rangers, fresh off the right before the All-Star break, actually, they had a couple of wins going to ends their winning streak. I thought they played well, and with a lot of the questions that I just brought up on this, as far as the start of this episode, I thought they could carry this over versus the Flyers and, of course, Jersey on Thursday. I would say off to a bad start. I thought they played all right. It's one of those nights where it felt like the Flyers were going to get the shutout, and they did. And there's something about the Flyers as of recently that the Rangers have run into this wall. Whether we played the Flyers down in Philadelphia and the Flyers handed it to the Rangers, and the next thing you know, the Flyers get rid of their general manager, head coaches, and then they played together tonight, and then it just didn't go through, man. So I don't know, man. There's something up with the Rangers when it comes to against the Flyers, man. So I don't know. Let's talk with RP, man. Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. RP, what's going on, sir? How's everything?
Hey, Steve. How's it going tonight? What's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? I mean, a lot of things on the table that I brought up, man. I mean, the return of Kevin Hayes, Neil Pionk, Pavel Buchnevich's benching. We'll get into the Henry Lundqvist stuff at the All-Star break, if you could fill me in on that, because, you know, I don't watch no All-Star games whatsoever. Brad Howden got hurt tonight. Brendan Smith had a couple of scoring opportunities. Chris Kreider, of course, did tonight. Rangers had the pressure. They just couldn't convert, man. What's your thoughts on what you saw?
Yeah. And, you know, we have those games when Lundqvist steals a win for us, and tonight Dalton stole it for them. I mean, they are chucking them 38-19. They played a good game. You can't really fault them. They played a hard-hitting game. They had a lot of shots. I mean, going into the third period, Hayes and Kreider had 11 shots on goal combined. They just could not find the back of the net tonight. A lot of posts. I thought Shattenkirk played phenomenal tonight, probably the best game as a Ranger. He was really skating with the puck well. And these are those games that you try to build off of. You know, it's the games that we talked about with this team. You want to be competitive. You want to be in the game and not get blown out. And, you know, coming off a long layoff, they didn't play bad. They just couldn't score. And, you know, with this team, sometimes that's going to happen. But they had a lot of scoring chances. Howden sprained his knee, so they'll reevaluate him tomorrow and see what they're at. But Namsukov jumped on into that first line tonight with Kreider's advantage. And I tell you, that line looked really, really good. They were getting a ton of chances. Namsukov played well tonight. So there weren't a lot of bad. You couldn't really pinpoint a bad thing about it. A little bit of a slow start. They got that quick goal a minute and a half in, which was remnant of last season. But you can't really say they played bad. They outplayed them, and they lost, and that's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah, I can't really fault the effort tonight, man. I thought it was pretty good for the most part. You said, domestic call. What were you saying about the coaching staff?
No, I was saying they can't really say anything bad about the game. I mean, I'm sure the little things that, you know, you'll find, coaches always find it. But for the most part, it was a solid hockey game. The puck didn't bounce their way a lot. A lot of posts, which, you know, you always say, oh, you know, an inch this way, an inch that way, and the puck goes in. It was one of those games that if the Rangers would have scored, you felt like they were going to get two or three and be able to pile it on, but they could never break the ice. So, you know, maybe if Buchnevich is in the lineup, you know, you could say that too. But right now that guy is just on the he is on the outside looking in right now with David Quinn. It's a little bit more than him just not playing well. Sometimes a player and a coach don't click, and it's beginning to look like that. You know, to go 9 days without playing and then come back and have two practices, and then the coach says, we're not happy with the way he's playing. You know, he has to play better, was his quote. It's an interesting situation. He has so much raw talent, but he's just been totally unable to get going this season. The broken thumb, he's been scratched, you know, three times, four times as a healthy scratch. It is concerning what's going to happen with him. You know, a lot of – you don't know if he'll start getting his name thrown in trade rumors. It's going to be a battle for him to get back into the lineup. You know, if Zuccarello's foot is better on Thursday, I'm pretty much sure Vucetov is going to sit out again, and they'll put Zuccarello in, and maybe they, you know, maybe they won't. It's only with seven defensemen is not – it's not optimum, and it's kind of surprising that you sit Buchnevich and say, I'm going to go with seven defensemen, and turned out it worked out with the injury to Howden that Smith wound up getting some, you know, quality time as a forward. But when you think about it, are things that bad that you can put an extra defenseman in the lineup and sit a guy that can score goals for you? And he had two goals in the last five games played, but there's something – from a learning standpoint and from a system standpoint that Quinn and the coaching staff just are not seeing. And he did say that he wasn't mad or upset with Buchnevich personally, but there were things that he's not doing that they want done. And until he gets it, it's going to be a lot of giving, you know, in and out of the lineup for him. So you just hope he's able to figure out what they want and get it to them, because he was on the fourth line. Even when he was scoring the goals, it was, oh, you're going to put him on the third or the second line. And he was like, no, we're keeping him where he is, even though he's scoring. So there's a lot going on that the coaches are seeing that they're not happy with. And until he can correct it, it's going to be one, you know, it's going to be this kind of hockey for him for a little while. And he's going to have to get used to it for a bit.
I mean, here's the thing I have an issue with. I can understand the learning experience, the healthy scratches, stuff like that. But like you said, you're coming off of a bye week. You haven't played in well over almost a week and a half. And you're coming off the All-Star break. So why the healthy scratch right after the break? Like, I don't understand when you're winning games. And winning doesn't solve everything. But when you're actually scoring goals during a win streak. And on top of that, what is it that Quinn is not – like, what is the communication between the coach and the player that he actually wants done, like, specifically?
You know, it's a good
question. Andrew Proud, I think we lost him. I'm not 100% sure.
Just not there, and he's not happy with it.
Okay.
It's not anything else you can really pinpoint. I mean, playing-wise, what changed from the game in Boston till tonight, other than the two practices? Unless there were things that he saw and he just decided, I'm going to shake it up and let him know that even though we've all been off, I'm not happy with your play, and now you're going to sit even coming off the break. Kind of a gutsy call if you think about it from a coach, but it's also he's got nothing to lose at this point kind of deal. You know, he's trying to make his point as a coach, a new coach on the team. And if he's not happy with a player, he's not happy with a player. We're never really going to know. I don't think he's going to come out to the media and say, I don't like A, B, and C. I think he's going to more of the coach that I've spoken with my player, and he knows what I'm looking for, and he has to deal with it this way.
Yeah, right. And then going with the seventh defenseman, having Brendan Smith as a wing, where, in a sense, he had his scoring opportunities. He's just going to catch him like the rest of the team tonight. Which scoring opportunity frustrated you the most? Was it the 2-on-1 when Nemestikov when he set up Kreider and hit the side of the post? Was it the power play and he got robbed? Or what was it, one of the goals that, that should have went in that I would say bothered you, but you wish that could have got the Rangers going?
Oh, definitely the 2-on-1 when Kreider hit the post. But I tell you, that one frustrated me, but if you looked at the replay, and I know people are going to think this is a little crazy, that puck was more going wide than going on net. He hit the outside of the post as the puck was going wide. It wasn't as close as you would think it was. It's a weird thing, I understand, but if you look at the replay, he hit the outside of the right post. And normally when that's happening, the shot's more going wide than on net. It was just to the side of him when he took the pass. I mean, both players were flying down the ice as it happened. It was a great pass by Nemtsov. And Kreider did everything he possibly could to get a shot on goal. The goalie made some rookie saves. He made some good saves. But at the end of the day, he stole the win. So you just got to – it's a frustrating loss. But the way the season is gone, it's not a surprising loss. It's they don't score a lot of goals. Or when it's funny, when they score in bunches. And when they don't score – you get a game like tonight. That's really how the season has gone. But there was a lot of good things tonight. The defense played very, very well, all of them. It was great to see Neil Pionk back on the ice. He played pretty good considering he's been out for so long. I think it's almost a month, you know, if you include the break. So there's a lot of positives to take out of it. And I know we're all tired of talking about moral victories, but right now, that's what you have to look for.
I mean, the defenseman tonight, Shanker, like you said, I thought his skates looked fresh. He shot well from the point. I thought he did a nice job attacking the net, getting deep as far as putting shots on the goal. It was good to see Neil Pionk out there and Kevin Hayes. How do you thought their performances were tonight as well?
Oh, it was great to see Kevin Hayes back on the ice. And he stepped right back in from where when he got hurt. I mean, he had a lot of shots on net. Like I was saying, him and Kreider had 11 between the two of them going into the third period. They just didn't score. Sometimes you got to take, you know, we were talking about that. Sometimes it's a hockey loss. Tonight was a hockey loss. Sometimes you play a really good game and you don't get the 2 points. And there's not really much to hop on it to the extent of, oh, we should have done this or we should have done that. If you break down the game, there's plenty of scoring opportunities. They played solid on defense. I thought all three zones they played good in. They didn't have a lot of bad passes. It's just a hockey loss.
Right. On the power play, the one thing that did bother me, it continues to bother me, the utilization of Mika Zibanejad, because every time they utilize him or they put him in a position of on the right side off of faceoffs or winning the faceoffs and then getting to the sets as far as the right circle, it's just not as effective once he's on the opposite end, his sweet spot on the left side of the circle, because I thought the best scoring opportunities is always when he's on the left side and all the rebounding chances. That's where Kreider got robbed off of one of the shot attempts. I just don't understand sometimes the trying to mix it up as far as putting, you know, different Ranger players on different parts of the power play. Well, you know, you see him effectively do damage consistently time and time again for the same spots or the same areas. It's like sometimes, like, why get cute with trying to maneuver players where you know that it isn't as effective where there are certain places on the ice? It really boggles my mind, because if you go back and watch that power play, the one where Kreider got robbed and he's like staring into the ceiling of MSG, and like those shot attempts is based off where Mika Zibanejad is always on the left circle of the ice. He's always doing a great job putting the shot on the net. And then Hayes, I don't mind Hayes being a freelancer. That's cool. I don't mind Sharon Kirk as far as at the top, at the point, with either him or Pionk. But when it comes to Mika Zibanejad, the Rangers are at their best when he's always at the side of the ice. It doesn't make sense wasting a minute of the power play on the opposite end where he's just never as effective. It just doesn't make no sense to me watching that. That frustrated me in the second period watching that, yo.
Yeah, I can understand that. I don't know why they're setting him up that way. Maybe when they're in practices, it clicks, and then in a game, it doesn't. It's weird. And also, I also think the play itself kind of dictates where they go, especially on the power play, because they're moving around so much. But the guys all seem to get comfortable there. When they're set up, they get comfortable, I should say. And it just the way it wound up tonight, that the really good scoring chances just seemed he was on the wrong side. That's just another power play thing. You know, things are so fast on the ice, Steve, and it changes so often that you could have a game plan going on to that power play, what you've done in practice. But then just the way the puck goes and the way you're pursuing the puck and guys are moving around, it kind of flip-flops on you. I was happy that he went with the traditional power play. I don't think he went with the five forwards tonight because that hasn't been too productive. I know the Flyers went with five forwards a couple of times. But you know something? The downside to that is the power play failed again, which has been the thorn in their ass the whole season. The penalty killing was good tonight. So, I mean, if you're going to nitpick on something tonight, the power play could be it. But it did create a lot of momentum. I mean, their pursuit on the puck tonight was phenomenal. They were all over the puck, especially probably from midway second period on. They were just on the puck. I mean, I thought the Flyers were on the heels all the time. But you got that feeling that they weren't going to get that goal. And I mean, that's how the game ended, obviously. And that's just something that you got to sort of pick yourselves up and go into New Jersey now on Thursday night and grow from this, to take this in a positive. If they keep doing what they did tonight, they're going to score their goals. They're going to play their game, and they're going to get some wins. But it's always going to be that grind and that battle. Another thing that we haven't spoken about, Gorgiev played pretty well tonight. He didn't have a good time at Hartford.
Yeah, he did.
He struggled at Hartford. I mean, he lost all three games he started. He got pulled in the last game after four goals on him in a period and a half, I think it was. So I thought he was going to go with Gorgiev tonight because Lundqvist did play in the All-Star game, even though he wasn't overplayed in the All-Star game. So it was a good move to start him tonight, give Hank a little bit more time. Either way, it was a big game. The Flyer game and the Devils, always big rivalry. So the coach's decision was there. And again, if you think about it, he's still pushing the right buttons. You know, he put a team on the ice tonight that competed. They played well. It was the right call with the goaltender. I don't think anyone complained about that. I don't think anyone said Lundqvist would have played better or different. I do think the team plays a little different when he's in net, because it's not the attitude of, well, Hank's back there and, you know, he'll stop everything. Yeah, they tend to play better defense when Gore gives them the goal. And it was a good way to come back out of the break. I mean, it sucks that we didn't get the 2 points or even get into overtime and try to get a point out of the game. But on the flip side of it, there was a lot of positives I saw in the game tonight. They didn't come out as – I thought they would have been a little flatter. I watched so many games yesterday that were played, and a lot of teams seemed to struggle. You know, it's a long break for a lot of these teams and all. So the Rangers didn't go through that, which was – remember you were questioning last week. We were not questioning, we were discussing how does the coach get them ready after such a long break. Well, I guess the answer was the team is going to get themselves ready, and that's what happened tonight. So it was all good all around with that. They definitely came out prepared. Right. They were ready to go. Yeah, they gave up that really early goal, but then again, it was the only goal they gave up. You got to look at that too and say, wow, these guys came out to play. Shattenkirk played good. Like Brady Shea took that huge hit. What was it in the third period? And
Yeah.
By golly, he got right back. He got right. I mean, he got leveled, but it was a clean hit. I give McLeod credit standing up for his guy. The whole line, you know, defending him. Buñuel got into it, and all we wound up actually taking a penalty. But, you know, that's hockey, and it was great to see. All right, he took a bad hit. He got up. I thought Shea played pretty solid. Stahl had some great scoring chances. There was a lot of positives in a loss. If you're going to look at it that way, it wasn't as bad of a loss as, you know, have we seen in past games. So I just hope they build on it going to New Jersey and, you know, get a win out of that. They have to get, you know, these wins. It's a home. They play very well at home. I think they had points like 9 out of the last 11 games, something like that. So you expect them when they're home to get points. But they're playing very well on home ice. They're making it a tough place for teams to come in and play against them. And you're going to need that because they got a lot of road games ahead and they haven't played that well on the road.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I said right before the All-Star break, I thought the Rangers would probably take Philadelphia game and probably the New Jersey game because I thought the momentum, the way they played, and they were going to get bodies back. Little did I know that Zuccarello was going to not play tonight. Shows the importance of him as being a group piece over and over as the heralded Ranger by the fan base, man. I mean, like I say, when this team is not at full strength, even though a lot of the games they won this past, a couple weeks ago, they weren't at full strength. They happened to get by. It just seems that when they need everybody just to really be on top of their game, really have a real chance.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I would say this bothered me, but you brought up the point on the penalty kill. They were shorthanded in the third period. I thought, see, this is one of those nights where, you know, nothing was really going to go right as far as scoring goals. They had that 4-on-2. During the penalty kill, shorthanded opportunity, and I thought they had not so great spacing to at least tie up that game. And they should have tied it up on a 4-on-2 on a penalty kill, and they should have cashed in on some of these goals. The Hedo shot that was later on in the period.
The 4-on-2 was
the
one Mark Stahl had that great shot, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
That was on that 4-on-2 and took that beautiful shot.
Yep.
He made a great save on that.
Yep.
You want to, the flip side to that is their goalie played a great game, and he didn't just get lucky on some saves. That was a gorgeous save he made on Stahl. Stahl had everything on that shot. And sometimes the puck's just – it's weird. For some teams, you say, all right, the puck's not going to go in the net. But when it happens to the Rangers, since they have a lack of scoring to begin with, it sort of gets magnified. So that's why it's so important to capitalize on every little opportunity that they get, because they don't get a lot of scoring opportunities. Now, tonight wasn't the case.
Right.
They had a lot of high-quality scoring chances tonight. I thought Hayes on a penalty kill, you could see how much they missed
them. Hold up, but you don't think that had a lot to do with the way Philadelphia played the Rangers? It kind of looked like they played back more, knowing that they got that early lead. But the Rangers, I thought, best period was in the second period as far as momentum change. Third period, it felt like Philadelphia – kind of allowed the Rangers to shoot more, but because they kind of play more of a defensive type of game, and until it was time to, you know, pull a goalie. Oh yeah, there was one more point I wanted to make before you answer that question as well. As far as Gorkiev, I thought the game could have been over 2-0 mid third period had it not for that save he made on Van Riemsdyk. That was a good save by Gorkiev. It would have been 2-0. I would have turned off the game, man. I would have turned off the game at that point.
Yeah, because then you knew it would have been over.
It would have been over.
Well, that's what happens when your goal is playing so hot.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when your goal is playing so hot, Steve. It's they were one goal away from making it 2-0 and pretty much they're done with. And that's, you know, we've been on the other side of that. How many times when Lundqvist is playing so well and it's a one-goal game and you just feel, well, if they get it here, we're going to lose, and Lundqvist is able to pull it out. They got a little bit of their own medicine tonight from a goalie that hasn't only started 17 NHL games and it was the second shutout. So it was sometimes the hockey gods are really mean, and tonight, let's be realistic, they deserve to win the game tonight and they lost. We've had a couple of those games when we deserve to lose and we've stolen a win. So it's karma. What goes around comes around. I can't really nitpick on much on that. There were a lot of things I saw. Like I thought Hayes stepped right back into where he was before he got hurt. He looked comfortable out there. He had a lot of scoring opportunities. He controlled the game when the team was shorthanded, which is something we haven't seen in a while. It wasn't just killing a penalty. Philadelphia had to worry about shorthanded opportunities against them, which is great. Now they just got to keep going, and you have to hope they can sooner rather than later start putting the puck in the net. Because as you know, sometimes these kind of games can go 2-3-4 when the Rangers only get one goal or two goals and they wind up losing all these games. The Rangers really need to come out in the New Jersey game. They really need to score a couple of goals and get their momentum and their confidence back up. Yes, it'll help if Zuccarello's in a lineup because he was playing well before he got hurt. But I thought the Ranger lines tonight were pretty solid. You know, even with Smith on the fourth line after Howden got hurt, I thought that they managed. VC had a solid game. Well, we already said Hayes played well. I thought McLeod had a good game. Nieves had a quiet game, but then, you know, solid. They didn't score against his line. I don't think it was his line that was out there when they got the only goal. So there's a lot of positives going there. It's hard to keep trying to find, like I said before, the moral victory kind of deal. But where the Rangers are right now, you need that. You need to say that there was a lot of good that came out of it. I don't think Quinn's going tomorrow going, oh, we got to change everything around. And, you know, he might not. He may not mix up the lineup. He may keep it where it is. You know, if Zuccarello's able to play, then maybe he doesn't go with seven defensemen. D'Angelo played good, had some good scoring chances, played well on the blue line. You couldn't really complain about the back end. I don't think you really complain about much on it other than the bottom line if they couldn't finish. I mean, at the end of the day, they lost the game because they couldn't get anything past them out of 38 shots. That could be a little bit of a problem if it keeps going that way. And we've seen that before when they go 2-3 games, when they're not scoring it. All of a sudden, yeah, playing well isn't good enough if you're losing 3, 4, 5 in a row. So they have to make sure, not just to take what the positives out of this game, they have to grow on that. They have to now take those positives and get even better in the next game, which is, I'm sure, what Quinn's going to tell them and get them ready for. The Devils are coming off a win last night. They're always a tough team when they play against us. They're always tough at the Rock. So it's no easy game, but there are no easy games.
There is no easy game. So fill me in, man, because, you know, everybody who listens to the Bleed Blue Show knows I am anti-All-Star game or any sport. So yeah. I could not help but anytime I'm watching Twitter feeds and other social media feeds, and Herb Lundqvist had a good performance. Now, mind you, now watching the Rangers game, right before the game, they showed a lot of highlight clips of Lundqvist at the All-Star game. So that's like as close as I saw an All-Star game. What happened? How Lundqvist was, I guess he was good. I didn't watch not a second
of good.
It. If you want to film again.
I actually wound up watching a lot of the All-Star game because it was Saturday night and I was at the parents and we were just chilling out watching the game because there was nothing on television. I hate the format. I found it boring, especially the first game. The first game was, if I'm right,
who was the first game?
I want to say it was the Pacific team against the Central team. And it was like at the end, they played 2 10-minute periods for a 20-minute game. And I think it was like 8-1 after the first 10 minutes. And I'm like, what is the difference if they're playing in this kind of game or the old traditional 5-on-5 and the final game was 15-13? There was no difference other than it's not hockey. 3v3 is not hockey. And they scored as many goals in that game as they used to do in the regular All-Star format. And like you said, all the All-Star games are the word I could use here. And you look at the NFL game, the Pro Bowl game the other day. There's just nothing to it. But if you're going to play it with all your players. Play it with all your positions. It totally is disadvantageous to play this game because the defensemen and the goaltenders are non-factors.
Right,
at least
right.
when you're playing
five-on-five
hockey, you get all your good defensemen in. You can't say it's the best of the best when a lot of guys aren't in the game because you're not bringing a lot of forwards and goaltenders. So that's my problem with it. Hank played very well in the three-on-three. He shut them out in his half that he played. It was great to see him relax and smile, and he had a great skills competition. He won the save streak competition personally for himself. It was great to see. He looked extremely relaxed the whole weekend, Steve. He was mingling with kids. He was talking. I never saw him smile so much on the bench ever.
Mm-hmm.
He had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
He was very relaxed. Maybe that'll help him when he comes over just to find how he was earlier in the season when he seemed relaxed. It was funny. You're talking about social media, and people were saying Hank was really good on the three-on-three and the breakaway drills because that's how he plays when he's on the Rangers. It was just another game for him. It was just another game for him. I mean,
he was
making save after save, and in that streak, he made 12 saves in a row of some of the best players in the world that were shooting
nice.
On him. And it was great to watch. And all the guys had a good time. See, the skills competition I like because you get to see the players who they really are. They're on the ice. They're all laughing. They're all joking around. Brett Burns and Pavlik from the Sharks had their kids on the ice with them, which was great to see. There were a lot of laughs. There was a lot of fun. There was a moment really quick, Steve, with Austin Matthews that everyone's been talking about. He came to do the breakaway, the shootout when they shoot at the disc. And he takes off his jersey, and he has a Toronto Maple Leaf Patrick Marleau jersey on. And for everyone who doesn't know, Marleau played in San Jose for the Sharks for like 16 years. They didn't cheer him. They went berserk when he did that. He said in an interview afterwards, he knew he'd get a reaction, but it was so loud and it was so emotional that he totally blew the shooting competition. He was just so nervous and so overwhelmed. And it was a great moment. You know, there's always a funny moment on in an All-Star game. P.K. Subban with skate with a funny hat on. Ovechkin would do something with sunglasses when he was there. Whatever it is, it would make everyone laugh and show you that they're people too and they have fun on the ice. It's a kid's game. Let's be realistic. So to see that moment was really great. He even got all the San Jose Shark players that were in the All-Star game to sign the Toronto Maple Leaf Marleau jersey. And also Matthews put it for charity for a children's foundation in Toronto. Really good story. A great thing to read about and see. But then you go to the hockey game the next day and it sucks. It's not hockey. And of all the sports, think about this, of all the major sports, it's the only one that changes their entire format for the All-Star game. I mean, baseball plays a regular game. Football and basketball plays a regular game. And yes, there's a lot of goals scored and a lot of points scored. And that's, you know, there's no hitting in the football. We understand that there's no defense in the NBA All-Star game. But it's their regular format. They're all their top players are there. In hockey, all your top defensemen aren't there because there's not enough spots because the teams are so small. So I just don't understand it. I wrote about it last year. I didn't like it. I wrote about it this year. I didn't like it. And, someone put they should go back to when they had they used to do this draft when the two captains would pick a team. It was live on television. And they would pick it like you did when you played stickball when you were a kid in school. That was great. The guy, the last pick, there's always that one guy that's always the last kid to get picked. Well, that guy would get a car.
Right.
That was the gimmick. But it was great. The draft was a whole night's television show, but it was fun. Who are these guys going to pick? And they're talking and all, and then they play their five-on-five meaningless game, but it was hockey. This is not hockey. It's an end-of-a-scrimmage
mm-hmm.
game. It's just like I tell you with the shootout. It's an end-of-practice game that now means something. It's not what it's supposed to be. The problem is apparently most of the fans aren't like me, opinion-wise, because the television ratings were higher than they were last year. Of course, it sold out. It always sells out. And it was good on television. They liked the goals being scored. So I don't see them changing it, but I really wish they would.
Well, I look at it like this. Before we get off, the closest thing I came to an All-Star game, whether it was the hockey or the other sport, I watch a lot of – see, when the All-Star games come on, I do a lot of watching shows, binge watching. So I watched a lot of Punisher. Now, right, RP, I don't know if you know this. The Punisher is a Rangers fan. I don't know if you knew this. I didn't even know this until I watched season two.
Yes, I do. The Punisher. Oh, you watched The Punisher on Netflix. That's a great series.
Yeah, right.
Great series. Yeah, I watched all of them.
Yeah, now, did you see the scene where he ran into the kid who was a Red Wings fan? Did you remember that conversation?
No, I don't.
I was so pissed the way they wrote that script. I mean, I know it was all in fun. Man, a Rangers fan would never have punked down to a Red Wing fan, even if he is 6 years old, the way he did. I was irate. Go back and watch the that scene. I think it was the first episode. Yeah, the first episode of season two. Go check that out when you get the chance. And we'll relay when we come back, because the Punisher is a Rangers fan. I like that. But he should not allow a Red Wing fan to talk smack to a Rangers fan in that spot. No, that was just – I was irate. I said, they allowed that on camera? Like, Rangers fan, I don't care if he is 6 years old. He said, the Rangers suck. And he's like, yeah, I know. We're like, what? A Red Wing fan talking like that?
That is great.
I mean, that's the closest thing I got to the hockey. And like that break with the Rangers, man. It's like that, 9, 10 days, whatever it was. So, well, it was now it's back to hockey now. Down, we were down, 8 points going into the from the second wild card spot. Got a lot of ground to make up. You got to skate hard, play hard, man. I mean, it's still, you make it competitive, and you got to start it off in Jersey on Thursday. Any final thoughts from you, RP, before we get off?
You know something? Tonight's not as bad as everyone is going to write about and say and look. It was a good hockey game tonight. It really was. If you weren't a Ranger fan, you would probably enjoy that game more, because that game had a lot to it. It had a lot of hitting, had some great goaltending, some good scoring chances. One team won and one team lost. I have no problem with that tonight, I got to tell you. Let's just hope that they build on it and they don't start a losing streak instead of taking something positive out of it.
All right. Nothing else to add from here, man. We'll be back next Tuesday. The Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, of course, on BleepBlueShow.com, audio archived on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher app. RP, I'm just so glad to talk some real hockey, man. I can't really stand the all-star stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Man. I mean, it felt like opening night. It felt just like you said earlier. I said this in KGYR. I said it felt like the season opener for the Rangers. They ain't played in a while. You give up a goal a minute and a half into the game, minute 40 into the game. That's typical Rangers opening night, man.
It felt like last year all over again. Didn't even get
it felt like it, man. Definitely.
And
did.
The puck was in the net.
Yeah. Cool, man. All right, man. Ranger Proud. Y'all, Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. Sangria soup, ladies and gentlemen. We blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.